Well, I'm sure, whoop. I'm sure I'll open this later. You caught that, didn't you? And I said, no, open it now. Soap on the rope. Y'all have soap on the rope.
Because we love you,
Steve. Yeah. And throw soap on the rope. Yeah. For those of you that weren't here for that story, I'm not going to tell it again, okay? Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you all for the soap. I won't have to buy any soap for a while. So thank you very much for the soap on the rope. And most of all, thank you for the peace offering after the soap on the rope. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to everybody. I hope that you have a great Easter Sunday morning. I hope that things go well for you. I hope that you saw my granddaughter sitting right over there. And she was definitely the prettiest two-year-old up here. So thank you all for being here today. We've got a good crowd today. We have several visitors today. And I want you to know that some of you are not seated in your assigned seats. I've noticed you've moved around. We had to move this morning because we had quite a crew that came with us. My son and his wife and Maëlle, y'all need to meet her. She's from France. She's one of our foreign exchange students that my son is keeping, he and his wife. So y'all need to meet her before she gets out. And pay very close attention. She speaks English better than I do, because I speak Arkansan.
Warsh.
Yeah. I know where that came from. Well, I want you to know that Easter is a holiday that is actually closer related to the time that it actually took place than Christmas is. Christmas is actually probably about 4 or 5 months different from Jesus' birth. But Easter's pretty close to the time that Jesus was resurrected. It's pretty close. Because Easter, if you haven't noticed, changes every year. And it's based upon the Jewish calendar of the Passover feast. That's where it comes from. So the date is pretty close to the time that Jesus was resurrected. But I learned several years ago from a minister that said that Jesus' resurrection is far more important in our Christianity than any other part. Now, he wasn't denouncing the crucifixion. He wasn't denouncing anything else, Jesus' birth or anything like that. But what he was saying was that Jesus' resurrection gives us hope where nothing else can. Other prophets that were before Jesus, they healed the sick. They made the lame walk. They caused the blind to see. They even raised individuals from the grave. But realize all the other prophets before died and were buried. Realize also that if people worship people like Muhammad, or somebody like that, Buddha, you can go to their gravesite and see where they were buried. You can't do that with Jesus, because Jesus is not there. We worship a risen Savior.
Amen.
Our Savior lives today. We do not worship someone who died and was buried, but rather we worship someone who was resurrected, who lives, who we can go to in our time of need in prayer. Jesus lives for us today. And with that, I want you to realize this also. The wages of sin is what? There was only one person that ever walked the face of this earth that could overcome sin and death, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the reason why is because He took our sins upon Himself. He took our sins to the cross. He was crucified. He was buried. He took our sins to the grave. But when He rose in the newness of life, in which we too, when we are buried in the likeness of His death and baptism, we too are raised in the newness of life. Sins are washed away. Therefore, we have hope in that salvation. There was only one who could overcome sin, one who knew no sin. There is only one who could overcome the wages of sin, which is death. The one who knew no sin. All the other prophets before Him could not do it. Only the one who knew no sin could overcome sin. And the climax of the whole story is Jesus' resurrection, and where He overcame the wages of sin, sin and death. We serve a risen Savior. We serve one who lives today, who is not dead, but lives with us. And the Scripture tells us He is with us today.
Amen.
Right now, here with us, gathered together with us. Now I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where I'm going to go today. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love Paul. I love his writings. Paul is an individual who was very committed in his life in both ways. He was committed to destroy Jesus, and when he came to the realization that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, he was just as committed to spread that gospel. And so Paul speaks about what the resurrection was all about. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 54. It says this: "But when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written." Notice this saying: "Death has been swallowed up in victory." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I've made this comment before, but if you were playing a game and you knew at the end of the game that you were going to win no matter what, the events of that game wouldn't make a whole lot of difference. Because we have victory. The victory comes through Jesus Christ, because he died for our sins. He was buried and he was resurrected to live again forever and ever. Death has no sting in us. Sin has no victory in us, because Jesus is our victory. Does that make sense to everybody? Do you understand exactly what that means? Because there's a lot of people in this world that do not understand that. That do not understand that only through Jesus Christ can we obtain victory. And if I know that I'm going to win at the end, then why would I go with anyone else? Why would I go any other direction? Jesus is our victory. Never forget that Jesus is the reason why I have hope. Jesus is the reason why I have forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the reason why I have a place in heaven. Because my sins are washed away because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now I want to look today at some facts about that resurrection and what that resurrection means to us today. And starting with this, Christ died for our sins. Moses could not have died for our sins. Why? Because he had what? He had sins to be forgiven of himself. Abraham could not have died for our sins. Why? Because he had sins that he had to be forgiven of himself. I could not die for your sins, because I have many sins that need to be forgiven. Realize exactly what this is. Christ died for us, our sins. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. Christ died for us and he was raised on that third day according to the Scripture. Now notice this also. People witnessed his resurrection. Now remember, the Jewish leaders paid off the guards that they had posted at the tomb. And they told the guards, "No, say that his disciples came and stole his body away." Well, if that would have been true, then no one would have seen him resurrected. But notice what Paul says. He says he appeared to Peter, and then after that he appeared to the 12, and then after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. There were people who saw Jesus walking the face of this earth after his resurrection. And I want to tell you this, that Jesus' own half-brothers and sisters did not believe in Jesus Christ until after his resurrection. And then they became leaders in the church. But it wasn't until after the resurrection that they believed. There are many who stood beside the cross and came to the point of belief because of the things they saw and witnessed. The centurion is a great example, because he saw these things happen. He saw the darkness of the sky. He saw the earthquake. He saw the dead being raised. And he responded and he said, "Truly, this was" what? "The Son of God." truly Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. He admitted that at the cross. But there were many who still did not believe. The Pharisees and the Sadducees walked in front of the cross, wagging their heads, saying others he could save, but he himself he could not save. Come down from the cross and then we will believe. Dick did a great job this morning talking about the fact that Jesus could have called 12,000 angels. Jesus could have destroyed the entire world. But his purpose was to do the will of God. His purpose was to save us. And I want you to realize also that Jesus did not die just for one person. He died for all people of all time. It was not the Romans who put Jesus on the cross. It was not the Jews who cried out to Pilate saying, "Crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." Realize who it was that put him on the cross. It was us. It was our sins. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus paid the debt. So that you and I could go to heaven. People witnessed Jesus being resurrected. Why then are there still people who say he was not resurrected? People witnessed it. People saw it. You don't have any problems believing that the Revolutionary War happened. None of us here saw it. There were no photographs taken during the Revolutionary War. But we have no problem believing that. We have no problem believing that Columbus sailed across the ocean and discovered Cuba, by the way. Just a little historical accuracy there. Nobody has a hard time believing that. Well, why do we have such a hard time believing that Christ raised? It's because Christ's resurrection was so important to the world. If people say, surely one event could not have changed the entire world, but in fact, one event did change the entire world.
Praise God.
The resurrection then is preached. I've preached it. Paul preached it. Christ is preached throughout the entire world. Why? Because that is our hope. That is our salvation, which comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Without him, we have no hope. Without him, we have no salvation. And if he had died and been buried and not been resurrected, then we ourselves would be the most pitied because we have no hope. But the fact of the matter is this, we have hope. If Jesus Christ was not raised, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is also in vain. Because our faith is on the hope of the resurrected Savior. So therefore, our faith is also in vain. Moreover, what I'm teaching you this day would be found to be false. I would be counted as a false teacher. Under no circumstance do I ever want to be counted as a false teacher. That's why I've told you before, if I say something up here that contradicts something that you've heard or something that you understand, come ask me about it. Because what I'm going to do is I'm either going to show you in the scripture where it says it, or I'm going to tell you that's my opinion. And if it's my opinion, it could be wrong. Don't tell my wife that. But understand this, usually when I say this is my opinion, or when I pronounce my opinion, I'll tell you that it's my opinion. Do I not? This is what I think. This is not necessarily true. This is what I think. But in this regard, understand that if Christ did not raise from the dead, I would be found to be a false witness, a false teacher. Not going to happen. And notice this. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the grave, then all those people who have gone on before us will also not raise from the grave. Where's your hope? You see what that does? That puts us all back in the situation where death has its sting, where death has its victory. But we know that that is not the case. Also, look at this. Your faith becomes worthless. There is no hope of salvation. There is no heaven. There is nothing but right here. And so we have no hope. We have no victory. Because all of us, if we count this world as our victory, we have already lost. Our faith becomes worthless. And then lastly, look at this one. We're of all people to be most pitied. You know why? Because we get up on Sunday morning and come to our worship service. Because we oftentimes are ridiculed. We oftentimes are put to shame by other people making fun of us. There are people in this world that because they stand for Jesus Christ are put to death, are put in prison. There are people today that those things are happening because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you right now that if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the grave, then we are pitiful people. But because Jesus Christ raised from the grave, we are victorious in all things. This verse in 1 Corinthians 15:8 tells us this. Know that your labor is not in vain. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to this earth. He died for our sins. He took our sins to the grave, and He was resurrected in the newness of life, just as we resemble that when we are baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. And therefore, our labor here on earth is not in vain. But our labor here on earth is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have victory this morning? Do you have the joy in knowing that I have a place waiting for me? Do you have the joy in knowing that those of your loved ones who have gone on before you are waiting there for you? Amen. Praying that God will hurry up and send His Son so that all of God's children could be joined together in one place, singing praises to our God and Father in heaven forever and ever. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to the victory which comes through Jesus Christ? Amen. You should be. And if you're not, then you need to get to where you are. You need to be baptized. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins. You need a place of hope in heaven. You need the victory which comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a need this morning, a need to participate in that victory, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.